Lisa, thanks for sharing. Maybe they ought to show that in Congress again. So, wouldn't hurt. So, but that had to do with the pledge, but it is Flag Day, and we've got 4th of July coming up, and some big 250-year celebrations coming up. So, it's about the end of countries and that lasts that long, so we may be on borrowed time, and I think we are if we look at the end times as they approach. But in the meantime, testimonies. Ask for testimonies before. They're important. They're important. You know, big things, little things, they're all important. You know, if they answered prayers, it's important to tell people. You got answered prayers. You know, tell what God's doing in your life. You know, the God incidences, the what other people call coincidences. But you know they're of God that puts things in your path and little things that happen, you know, shoes that happen to be the right size or something gets delivered to your door the day you needed it or simple things like that. But they're of God. God put those things together. You know, tell people about those things. That's a testimony. You know, and anything else God is doing in your life, what He's done, you know, where you're at in your relationship with Him. You know, if you're saved, you got a testimony. Tell Him what He's done for you, what that means to you, and tell Him what He's doing now, because He's working in your life. But everybody has a testimony, and it's so important, and that's why we ask for them every Sunday. It's important to share those things about what God's doing in your life. It makes a difference. I'm going to read a fairly longer passage today. We're going to start out in Mark chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 21 to 43. Mark 5, 21 to 43. It's got a couple people in it you've probably heard of before. Jairus, synagogue leader, which possibly made him a Pharisee, but a leader of the religious order by chance, Jairus. And then there's also a lady, I don't think we know her name, but has a bleeding issue. So she's kind of at the opposite end of the spectrum. She's kind of defiled, not supposed to be around people. You know, and having her struggles. And they'll say they both have a struggle they're coming to Jesus with. And so we're going to read this account, Mark 5, 21 to 43. It says, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. And he pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. Now a large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. And because she thought, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet. And trembling with fear, she told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Now, overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. And he went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. And after he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. And he took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha koum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." And immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. And he gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. So we've heard this story, this account before, but I want you to put yourself in this sequence of events. You know, you're walking along, Jesus is walking along, there's a large crowd, they're shoving to get near Jesus. They want to be up close to that. You know, Jesus is the rock star of the day, everybody knows him, people want to be beside him, they want to get around him, and they're jostling him all around, and the disciples, because they're so close, they're just really crowding in around him. And we find a synagogue leader, again, a man named Jairus, came to Jesus. Obviously, he had heard of Jesus. And he fell at his feet, and he pleaded for him to save his dying daughter. You know, he's desperate. He's a desperate man with his daughter sick, but he's full of faith because he's asking Jesus to come to his house. You know, come, put your hands on her so she'll be healed and live. He's got faith Jesus could do that. Now, Jesus went. You know, and I'm sure Jairus is kind of leading the pack, and he's saying, "Out of the way, move to the side, we're in a hurry." You know, I'm sure he was coercing people to move as fast as they could to get to the house, to get to his daughter. Then we have something else happen. We have the large crowd following them. They're still pressing in and, you know, being pushed around side to side. And while this is all happening, we find this woman there. Again, we don't have her name, but she's been suffering and with a bleeding issue for 12 years. You know, she'd gone to the doctors, you know, as we do. She spent everything she had trying to get well, and it only got worse. It didn't help. They couldn't heal her. You know, her life was kind of a mess. You know, she was destitute. She didn't have money anymore. She spent all of it. Definitely discouraged. You know, what am I going to do? You know, I'm in this position. I feel like this, and I can't change. And I did what I thought I had could do. You know, I'm sure she was embarrassed, you know, having the bleeding issue for that long. She was desperate, just as Jairus was. She was even defiled. You know, she was considered unclean. She wasn't supposed to be around the other people. Then she heard about Jesus. She reached out in her need. She skipped over the law. She skipped over the law of being unclean. Instead, sought the grace of the Messiah that she had heard about. You know, we too can overcome the law through Jesus, through the Messiah. And she had with faith that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, that she would be healed. Now, I'm not sure where she got that, but I've got a couple of options. If you're with us in Bible study, we're finishing up we've did the minor prophets, so we've did 12 books of the Bible. We're in Malachi, and we'll finish it up, not this week, but next week. Well, in Malachi 4:2 says, "But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays." Now, this is one where I like other translations better. New King James would read, "But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings." Same verse, just a little bit different translation. And I want you to remember that one. Now, if we talk about healing in his wings, and we talk about that, if we go to, and I didn't put these all on the screen, but back in Deuteronomy 22:12 and Numbers 15:37-40, it talks about these garments. It says, "Speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes on the borders of their garments throughout their generations." So he's talking about these hems and the fringes on their clothing. "And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord." So they put ties down and things on the hems of their garments to remember. Some of them put, you'll read, little boxes down there to remember commands and things. And in Numbers 15:38, the word translation border or corner is actually a Hebrew word that gets translated as wings. And it's done so 76 times in the Bible that the corner or the border is translated as wings. And so it goes on that says, "For this reason, the corners of the prayer shawl, which they would put over themselves, are often called wings. And each they call a tzitzit. And it's a thing that they tie. It consists of 5 double knots and 8 threads. So it's a total of 13 pieces, 5 double knots, 8 threads. And what they do is they add that to the 600, which is the Hebraic numerical value of the word tzitzit, which is what they call this. And that comes up with the 613, which is the 613 commandments of the Torah that they use to remember. And as the Torah is, it's called a Torah, placed over their head, it kind of forms a kind of a tent. And then wings of the garment are formed when they kind of raise their arms. It kind of makes it look like wings. So that's where they come with all this. And so the corners of the prayer shawl is often called wings, and that's what they're talking about. And there is one tradition that says that one of the knots contains healing powers. Now, maybe the lady had heard that tradition that, you know, one of the knots in the hem contained a healing power. And maybe she had listened to God's word. Maybe she had read or heard Malachi 4 that said there's healings in his wings. Either way, she knew she needed to touch the healing hem of the Messiah for healing. You know, we have to trust the word of God for healing. She did. She sought him out. You know, she had faith. You know, she had heard his word. She didn't just want to see him. She wanted to get close to him. She wanted to touch him, or at least touch his hem. She believed that was enough. God's word said that was enough. And his wings were healing. She didn't want to see him at a distance. And it takes time and effort to get close. And through the crowd, you can tell how much somebody cares about someone, about how close they get to them. You know, back in the day when you had bench seats, you always knew the cars, we joked, it took 2 people to drive. Because you had the guy there and the gal right beside him, you know, there's all this room, she's right beside him. So she wanted to be close to him, wanted to be close. Cared about him, wanted to be next to him. Well, she touched the hem. She touched the wings of Jesus' clothes. It says was immediately healed, and she was immediately free from her suffering. There's freedom in Christ. When our faith in him, we have freedom in Christ. We have freedom from suffering. And all this has happened again. All these people around Jesus knew it. And he stopped and he said, okay, who touched my clothes? You know, amongst all these people, of course, the disciples say, really? You're really asking who touched you? There probably could have been 15 people here. You're really asking who touched you? He said, all these people are around and you're asking this. Jesus just waited on a response. And so the woman finally came and fell at his feet and says with fear, told him the whole truth. You know, I think fear, you know, go back to the verse. It says, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Those who fear, those who are in awe, those who have a reverence, those who know who he is and what he can do. She, with fear, told him the whole truth. And I think she told literally everything. I think she explained her problem. I think she explained, I spent all my money on everything. I think she explained, I've had this bleeding issue for 12 years. I think she explained she came there to touch the hem of his garment. I think she explained she touched him because she believed she had heard this or read this in his words. She believed his word and that he had made her whole. I think she told everything to all those people to hear. How her life had been, where she was now, how she came to Jesus for healing and she was healed. And she gave her testimony there to everyone. I believe she was praising him, praising Jesus, praising God. You know what Jesus did? He called her his daughter. It's pretty awesome. She became his daughter. Daughter, your faith has healed you. You know, she gave her testimony and she shared her faith. She's called a daughter of God. Child of God. That's how it works. You know, we seek God. We reach out. Grab a hold of him. He accepts us as his child. He gives us freedom from pain and suffering. There's still going to be pain and suffering, but not like it is without him. It's a different kind. He said, you know, you're a child of God. He said, you know, your faith has healed you. It's the channel through which we come to know God. Faith's the channel that through faith we come to salvation. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Again, a peace and freedom only God can give, you know, despite what's going on around us. You know, this large crowd heard a testimony from an unclean person, you know, sort of like sinners today, you know, don't deserve it, but they reached out and asked. But a person who exercised a faith in Christ and was cleansed. That's what we're to do. Kind of exercise that faith. Now this is all going on. We go back to Jairus. Can you imagine what he's doing? You know, he's trying to get people to the house. My daughter's dying. You know, don't have time to stand around here and have all these conversations. But, you know, he's probably kind of one foot and then the other kind of, let's hurry, let's go, let's get going. Wishing they would come on. You know, his daughter's on his mind. You know, he needs Jesus to hurry to his house. But before they can leave, people arrive and told Jairus that his daughter had died. It's too late. You know, don't bother Jesus anymore. It's too late. She's already gone. You know, Jesus told him, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Have faith and exercise it. Keep the faith. Jesus knows what we need all the time. You know who needed the testimony of the woman? Jairus. Jairus needed it. Jairus needed to hear that. You know, in the midst of his suffering and worry and pain of hearing about his 12-year-old daughter, his 12-year-old daughter's death, he also heard from a woman in her 12 years of suffering and pain. But then he heard about a healing faith. What happened in her life? She was set free. It's like she was reborn. She lost a suffering that she had. A woman called daughter by Jesus. You just heard about a miracle and what Jesus can do in your life. Jairus had hope. He came to Jesus. He had hope for Jesus. But I believe that hope was renewed. It was built up. Jairus needed that testimony at that time for encouragement and for his faith to be strong and to stay sure. At this point, they continue on to the home of Jairus. You know, notice something. Jesus didn't allow anyone else to follow except Peter, James, and John. He could have gotten rid of the crowd whenever he wanted to. But he didn't until the woman was healed and her testimony was heard. And Jairus had heard it. When they arrived at the house, people there wailing and crying about the death. And Jesus said, "Why? You know, she's just asleep." You know, some people put on a show. Some people look for a show. He said, "She's just asleep." What'd they do? They laughed at him. They didn't have faith. He rejected it. What'd he do? Kicked them all out. They didn't deserve to be there. Only the faithful, Peter, James, John, Jairus, and his wife, went with Jesus. Jesus raised that 12-year-old girl back to life, gave her new life. This time he tells them not to tell anyone, but to feed her. You know, sometimes unfaithful people need not apply. If you don't believe, it's not going to happen. Unfaithful, fake people make up other reasons and narratives on what may have happened. You know, they're going to find out the young girl was brought back to life. But unfaithful people, people that don't believe, is going to make up other reasons how it happened. You know, well, she really was asleep or she was just unconscious. There's going to be a multitude of reasons they're going to come up with. It doesn't give credit to God. Faithful people know when God works miracles. Faithful people see God working. Also, Jesus didn't want the public attention hampering his true mission on what he came to do, who he came to be. People that wanted to see an event and make it special instead of God. It's like going to the magic show to see them, you know, wow, did you see what that was? It was about what happened, not about God. He didn't want that either. People that just wanted to see a show, they got kicked out. They didn't believe. And Jairus, you know, he could have given up. Could have said, "Never mind, it's too late." But a testimony of Jesus from a woman gave him renewed strength and faith to continue on. And he knew Jesus could do for his daughter what he did for that woman, who Jesus now called daughter. He knew his daughter could receive that as well. He was encouraged. He was led by that testimony. You know, a woman whose faith led her to a relationship with Jesus. And then she just told her story. She's told what happened. I have an invitation in just a few minutes. I've got 5 short verses still to go over. Then we'll have an invitation hymn. First one is Revelation 12, 11. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. It says, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. You know, our testimony is a part of our triumph. It's a part of our salvation. You know, our words are in obedience for what God calls us to do, which is to tell others. You know, it's evidence that God's working in our life. It's proof that God's working in our life. If you've been saved, you have a testimony. You have one. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. It says, for the Spirit of God gave us... Start again. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. So many times people say, I can't do it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. The Holy Spirit's given you the power to do so. It's either that or you're ashamed, and that's a whole other matter. That's sad. You know, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you when you're facing me. Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and message is heard through the word about Christ. That's how people come to know God. That's how people come to know Jesus. You know, hearing about Christ. They hear about Christ through the Bible, through his word. But they also hear about him from you. Your testimony leads them to Christ. That's how they know. That's how they hear. That's how the woman heard about Jesus, through these word and through a tradition that would have been passed down through people saying something. Jairus, I'm sure, heard the same way. He'd heard about Jesus and what he could do, and he wanted him. 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. You know, your testimony, your God incidences, they all make a difference. You know, they'll encourage those who need renewed hope. It'll glorify God by giving praise to him and the things he does and his works. It'll show others God's faithfulness in our lives. If we just depend on and trust him and have faith in him. Again, if we have faith in a relationship with Jesus, then we have a testimony. And we have to share it. And finally end up with Mark 5. Mark chapter 5, verses 18 to 20. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy for you, on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. You know, I promise if you tell people the story of you and Jesus, you know, your testimony of what he's done, what he's doing in your life, you know, even the small things, you know, what non-faithful people think of as circumstances, but you know they're God incidences, that it's him. They make a huge impact on the lives of people. They need to hear it. You can change a life if you're willing to share. I think they'll be amazed by God too. Now there's going to be those that may laugh. You know, that won't believe. But there's going to be that one too that God has in mind for you to share yours too. It's going to make a big difference in their life. I think any time we share a testimony, you know, we started out when I first began 3 years ago. How important that was to share. We even had an evening over in the fellowship hall where we took time for people to be able to share, you know, a testimony, what God had done in their lives. Probably need to do that again. But your testimony is needed by someone. Everyone may not accept it, but somebody needs it. God's going to use you to give that to them, but you have to be willing to share it. Share your testimonies. Think about those times throughout the week. I think you'll find during every single week there's something that God's doing. Sometimes we're not looking for it. Sometimes we're not seeing it, but it's there. Share that with others because somebody needs it from you. God set it up for Jairus to be encouraged at a low point in his life. There's people out there that need yours. Let's pray.